До 400-літнього ювілею з дня смерті Мігеля Сервантеса відділ обслуговування документами іноземними мовами пропонує ознайомитися із уривком роману «Дон Кіхот» англійською мовою. In a village of La Mancha, the name of which I have no desire to call to mind, there lived not long since one of those gentlemen that keep a lance in the lance rack, an old buckler, a lean hack, and a greyhound for coursing, an olla of rather more beef than mutton, a salad on most nights, scraps on Saturdays, lentils on Fridays, and a pigeon or so extra on Sundays, made away with 3/4 of his income. The rest of it went in a doublet of fine clothes and a velvet breeches and shoes to match for holidays, while on weekdays he made a brave figure in his best homespun. He had in his house a housekeeper past 40, a niece under 20, and a lad for the field and marketplace who used to saddle the hack as well as handle the big hook. The age of this gentleman of ours was bordering on 50. He was of a hardy habit, spare, gaunt-featured, a very early riser, and a great sportsman. You must know, then, that the above-named gentleman, whenever he was at leisure, which was mostly all the year round, gave himself up to reading books of chivalry and with such ardor and avidity that he almost entirely neglected the pursuit of his field sports and even the management of his property. And to such a pitch did his eagerness and infatuation go that he sold many an acre of tillage land to buy books of chivalry to read, and brought home as many of them as he could get. But of all there were none he liked so well as those of the famous Feliciano de Silva's composition, for their lucidity of style and complicated conceits were as sparrows in his sight, particularly when in his reading he came upon courtships and cordials, where he often found passages like, "The reason of the unreason with which my reason is afflicted, so weakens my reason that with reason I murmur at your beauty," or again, "The high heavens that of your divinity divinely fortify you with the stars render you deserving of the desert your greatness deserves." Over conceits of this sort, the poor gentleman lost his wits and used to lie awake striving to understand them and worm the meaning out of them. What Aristotle himself would not have made out or extracted had he come to life again for that special purpose. He was not at all easy about the wounds which Don Belianis gave and took, because it seemed to him that great as were the surgeons who had cured him, he must have had his face and body covered all over with seams and scars. He commended, however, the author's way of ending his book with the promise of that interminable adventure, and many a time was he tempted to take up his pen and finish it properly, as is there proposed, which no doubt he would have done, and made a successful piece of work of it too, had not greater and more absorbing thoughts prevented him. Many an argument did he have with the curate of his village, a learned man and a graduate of Siguenza, as to which had been the better knight, Palmerine of England or Amadis of Gaul. Master Nicholas, the village barber, however, used to say that neither of them came up to the knight of Phoebus, that if there was any that could compare with him, it was Don Galaor, the brother of Amadis of Gaul, because he had a spirit that was equal to every occasion, and was not finicky knight, nor lachrymose like his brother, while in the matter of valor he was not a whit behind him. In short, he became so absorbed in his books that he spent his nights from sunset to sunrise and his days from dawn to dark poring over them, and what with little sleep and much reading, his brains got so dry that he lost his wits. His fancy was full of what he used to read about in his books: enchantments, quarrels, battles, challenges, wounds, wins, loves, agonies, and all sorts of impossible nonsense. that it so possessed his mind that the whole fabric of invention and fancy he read of was true, that to him no history in the world had more reality in it. He used to say the Cid Ruydiez was a very good knight, but that he was not to be compared with the knight of the burning sword, who with one backstroke cut in half two fierce and monstrous giants. In short, his wits being quite gone, hit upon the strangest notion that ever madman in this world hit upon, and that was that he fancied it was right and requisite as well for the support of his own honor as for the service of his country, that he should make a knight errant of himself, roaming the world over in full armor and on horseback in quest of adventures, and putting in practice himself all that he had read of as being the usual practices of knights, righting every kind of wrong and exposing himself to peril and danger from which, in the issue, he was to reap eternal renown and fame. Already the poor man saw himself crowned by the might of his arm Emperor Trebizond at least, and so led away by the intense enjoyment he found in these pleasant fancies, he set himself forthwith to put his scheme into execution. The first thing he did was to clean up some armor that had belonged to his great-grandfather and had been for ages lying forgotten in a corner eaten with rust and covered with mildew. He scoured and polished it as best as he could, but he perceived one great defect in it, that it had no closed helmet, nothing but a simple morion. This deficiency, however, his ingenuity supplied, for he contrived a kind of half helmet of pasteboard which fitted onto the morion looked like a whole one. It is true that in order to see if it was strong and fit to stand a guard, he drew his sword and gave it a couple of slashes, the first of which undid in an instant what had taken him a week to do. The ease with which he had knocked it to pieces disconcerted him somewhat, and to guard against that danger, set to work again, fixing bars of iron on the inside until he was satisfied with its strength, and then, not caring to try any more experiments with it, he passed it and adapted it as a helmet of the most perfect construction. Текст читала Мещерякова Юлія.